This week back in 1971, the government and the news media were engaged in a struggle pitting secrecy against the public's right to know. It also involved what was perhaps the government's first successful attempt to force a newspaper to stop publishing. At issue were the so-called Pentagon Papers, thousands of documents that explained how we became mired in the Vietnam conflict. Long before Private First Class Bradley Manning and WikiLeaks, government researcher Daniel Ellsberg gave thousands of stolen documents to the New York Times. But in addition to the dry diplomatic details, the documents also showed how Presidents Eisenhower, Kennedy, and Johnson misled both the Congress and the people with a steady stream of misinformation, distortions, and outright lies. On the last day of the month, the U.S. Supreme Court, acting with uncharacteristic haste, rendered a 6-3 decision that said the New York Times and Washington Post could indeed continue to print the documents they had received. At first glance, that vote appeared to be a resounding victory for the press, but a closer examination shows that the victory was much narrower and in some ways much more dangerous than it first appears. Although the actual vote was 6-3 in favor of publication, the justices actually came out, philosophically, 7-2 against the papers. Four of the six said they felt the government attorneys had not presented their case well, or they said they would not do what Congress had failed to do, namely prohibit the publication of secret information. Like so many great events in American history, the Pentagon Papers have produced their own mythology. But even if their outcome was not a resounding victory for the press, the aftermath certainly illustrates the point made by Thomas Jefferson, that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. I'm Larry Burris.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the author, not necessarily those of WMOT or of the College of Mass Communication at Middle Tennessee State University.